Do you want to do a real paranormal investigation of a well-documented haunted location? Here's your chance. Join our team as we continue the investigations of the Gaynor Tavern, currently Bean Stamper's Gentleman Club in Mackville, Wisconsin.
Originally built in 1877, the building was served as a general store, blacksmith shop, tavern, post office, dance hall, and bar. The building was originally built by Michael Gaynor and remained in the family for five generations before being sold to Bean Snappers in 1993. Throughout documented history, the building has been hit four times and burned twice, with four recorded deaths on the property.
Some of the most notable paranormal claims that we have documented are a male disembodied voice, a female disembodied voice, objects moving, doors opening and closing, lights turning on and off, knocking in response to questions, the sound of someone sitting down next to you on furniture, physical interactions including being touched, hair brushed, and scratched, and other unexplained responses through our equipment, which include a REM pod, EMF meter, and an obelisk.
Bring your own equipment, or we have some you can use while you're here. Audio and video recording is encouraged. Here is your chance to investigate the paranormal. For the very first timers to the experienced professionals, we can walk you through, or you can take the lead. The time is yours. Ask your questions and get your answers. Limited space is available for tours, so make sure you purchase your tickets in advance at wisconsincaps.com. Click on the Gaynor's Tavern link under public events.
If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTK-DB.com.
Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and today we are recording in the Rhinelander Hodag Heritage Festival, and this is in May, so this won't come out until like September or October, but we're here in May, so it's a lovely chilly morning, and I have a lovely young lady with me today from Gothsconsin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very happy to be here. It's a little chilly, but we're making it through. I'm excited to learn all about the Hodag today, and just check everything out. Very exciting times.
Cool. So tell us about what you do.
All right. So my name is Taylor.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, what's your name? Start with that.
So my name is Taylor Nicole. I run Gothsconsin, which is a paranormal TikTok account I've amassed at this point, probably about 120,000 followers all around the state of Wisconsin that are interested in either Wisconsin culture jokes, kind of like Charlie Barron's-esque. You got to get that Manitowoc Minute humor in there, but a lot of paranormal content as well. I've had a passion for haunted Wisconsin stories and learning about Wisconsin true crime from a young age, and I just love relaying that to the public and giving them a new perception on the beautiful great state we live in.
So what got you started into doing this?
That is so funny, because while we stand right here, directly next to us is Mr. Chad Lewis.
Yep.
And when I was a young child, my mother actually bought the Haunted Wisconsin Road Guide, I believe is the full title, by Chad Lewis and Terry Fisk. And once she bought that for me, I was gung-ho about it from there. Learning about all the different places around the state that are haunted and have haunted history was just so fascinating to me. And at the time that she bought that book, my dad was actually selling property up north in the North Woods, as we call it, and getting to kind of use that book to see like what haunted places would be around us while we were looking at properties in the Northwoods was so fascinating to me. And that too is how I found out about the Rhinelander Hodag. And now we're here at this Hodag Festival. It's very next to Chad Lewis. It's very full circle.
It is. That's cool. So what? So you got into this stuff, and what led from that to the TikTok?
That is an interesting question. So let's see here. Let's try and map it out. Pretty much through elementary school into high school, it was very much, I wouldn't have even considered it a hobby necessarily. I always just found it as a slight interest where I'd read these haunted Wisconsin books or watch, like a haunting on television or, you know, ghost adventures, all sorts of different shows. And it was always kind of an interest in the back of my mind. But then what really jump-started it was during the pandemic. I was a bartender. I was a full-time bartender. And if anyone out there was bartending during the pandemic, you know that there was a little bit of unemployment for a minute. So I just found myself needing to fill some time. And I started making TikToks kind of just based around Wisconsin humor because people seem to like it. And then people seem to really like it. And I was like, well, how can I craft this into something that I am more interested in? And then I thought about, you know, I saw my Haunted Wisconsin books, all the literature I have, all the movies and the TV shows about everything. And I was like, I want to relay this to the rest of the world. And the first TikTok I made was about the history of Whitewater, the very paranormal history behind Whitewater. And people ate it up. It was the first paranormal video I did, and it hit 100,000 views overnight. And I was like, oh boy, I think we have something here. So, and ever since then, it's just been learning every day about new haunted Wisconsin places and new Midwest places, trying to branch out a little more for sure. And like I said, here we are.
Cool. So what do you do for your TikTok? You do a lot of research on each location? How do you find them and stuff like that?
I do. I think a lot of people, when they hear TikTok, they're very quick to underestimate it. They think, oh, that's just where all the kiddos dance or something. But there is a lot of reading and research and time and effort put into each video. I make a script for each and every one of them. I keep every script just to have on hand in case I ever plan on redoing a story or revamping it. For example, the Hodag I've actually covered a couple times on TikTok now with new information each time. And yeah, there is truly just a lot of sitting down and researching what I need to know for each place. And even sometimes reaching out to people that I know are in those areas to ask for their personal accounts, because I think that definitely adds an air of sincerity to the story.
Cool. So you have guests on your show too? Or?
I don't quite have guests. Unfortunately, TikTok is a platform that is a little hard to collaborate with people, especially talking one-on-one like this. You know, they have a three-minute cap on videos. So I haven't quite incorporated guests into the video yet. I have collaborated with a couple other artists down in Milwaukee. My friend J. Matt Milwaukee, he covers Milwaukee topics. And when he did his top five Haunted Milwaukee TikTok video, I was featured as part of that. But other than that, I haven't had too many guests on my end. So something to work on in the future for sure.
Cool, definitely. So when you do all these investigations and stuff, do you do, or not investigations, research and that, you do paranormal, do you do cryptids as well?
I do. I am very interested in covering cryptids, and I've definitely covered, like I said, the Hodag for sure. I have covered Beast of Bray Road. I haven't ventured out into cryptids across the Midwest or kind of across the rest of the states quite yet, just because there's so much information with each and every one of them that I really want to nail it on the head when I cover it. But yeah, I have definitely covered the Wisconsin cryptids. I also cover, like I said, some true crime. That's a little harder realm to get into just because I want to remain respectful about the topic, especially if I'm talking about Wisconsin true crime and most of my followers are from Wisconsin. It can hit close to home, so I try and be mindful of that. And then the one topic that was discussed today that I haven't quite branched out on is aliens. So that is something, that's something hopefully planning on for the future.
We have our own alien episode in the works right
Ooh.
Now. Yeah. So we're spending this summer and this year working on our UFO contacts and picking up stories and stuff like that. So
very nice.
I'm right there with you.
I'll have to listen to it. Yeah, aliens. I think I've had so many paranormal experiences of my own, and growing up in the Northwoods, it's easy to believe in like cryptids and stuff, but I've never had like an alien story of my own. And I think that's maybe why I don't gravitate towards those so much, but I think I owe it to the state to kind of expose some of that knowledge as well. So
Yeah, definitely. Like, we get reports of UFOs and stuff coming to us, but, and people are like, well, do you investigate UFOs? And I said, well, it came down from the sky. You saw it. Is it going to be there tomorrow? Did it leave footprints? Did it, you know, leave you a business card?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're just kind of gathering, like, stories and stuff from people, and we're doing a lot of CE5 work. So
okay.
we're trying to initiate contact with extraterrestrials.
Interesting.
Or interdimensionals or whatever they happen to be.
Yeah.
So that's the way we're approaching the subject of trying to make contact ourselves instead of hoping to see it.
So. Yeah, no, and that makes a lot of sense for sure. I would be so interested to hear what kind of feedback you get from that. I think it is a very fascinating topic, and I am excited looking more into it. I think the closest thing I have covered to it would probably be in regards to the Lake Michigan Triangle, which I think is such an underestimated story in this state. If you've heard of the Bermuda Triangle, you've got one much closer to home if you're living in the Midwest, and it's right in Lake Michigan. So that's about the only experience I have with like Wisconsin extraterrestrial cases. So I'm excited to hear on your end more about it.
Sounds good. So you said that you had some experiences with the paranormal. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I will try and make this story a bit brief because it could go on and on. But the house that I grew up in was actually built by my ancestors who came to this country. It was built in the like mid to late 1800s, and it's a farmstead in central Wisconsin, central northeast Wisconsin. And I am so convinced that house has some energy connected to it. There's been a lot of tragedy that happened on the property. There was a plane crash, a lot of different family deaths. It was a farming family, so that was pretty common. I think the oddest case, though, is I always had an interesting experience on the staircase there, and my room there was upstairs, so I always had to use the staircase. Always felt like someone was following me, and it was the most real sensation of just someone constantly following me. And one day I stopped on the last step of the staircase after running down the steps, and I was young. I was in fifth or sixth grade at this point. And I look over my shoulder, clear as day, I see the face of a young girl, and she's smiling at me, and I'm not smiling back. I'm running. So sure enough, I run away. It scared me quite a bit. And then not long after that, my grandfather passed away. And when we were going through his belongings, he lived right next door, conveniently, so we would bounce back between the two houses, and we were looking through his belongings, and my aunt pulls up a picture of my grandpa with his sister, who died when she was about 11, and would have been the same age that I had seen her. It was the girl in the picture was the girl I saw on the staircase, and truly to this day, I think that just really solidified my belief in the paranormal. I respect everyone's belief, whether you believe it or not, but for me, that experience was so eye-opening, and had I not experienced that, I'm not sure I'd be here talking today about spooky stuff, so it was very scary at the time, but I look back fondly. I don't think it was anything malicious, and it was very eye-opening and evidently life-changing. So,
yeah, definitely. So that's really cool. That's a nice story.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you done any like paranormal investigations or gone out on any of that kind of stuff?
No,
tours,
I don't know how many words I can say on here, but I'm kind of a chicken shit. So, no, it's funny actually. On TikTok, all the time I get comments that are like, "Please." Please help me. I think I have an entity in my house, and I gotta be like, good luck, because I don't know how I can help with this. Like, I am quite the scaredy cat, to be honest, but I still think it's very fascinating. So I truly prefer just hearing people's stories and then kind of relaying it. I think paranormal investigations would be really cool. I'd definitely have to be with the right group of people, and I'm never doing that on my own. So it's I'm open to the idea, but as of right now, that's not really in the cards.
Cool. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. It's been a long day.
It has. I'm going on 2 hours of sleep, as I told you earlier.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't imagine.
That's what I was going to say. So you've done all these stories, you've done all this research and stuff. Has there ever been a story that you've come across that has kept you up at night? You said you're really scared.
Ooh.
And stuff. So has there been anything that's kind of like gotten to you like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, you know?
I mean, a general answer would be like just a lot of spooky TikToks that I see of other people's stories being told, where they seemingly have documented like any sort of paranormal activity, those always freak me out. As far as like Wisconsin stories, none that I can think of have like really kept me up at night necessarily. I do say cases like the Summerwind Mansion are close to doing that though. Like if I think about that case too much, I get really freaked out. Another thing that kind of freaks me out is the history behind like Black River Falls, and the curse that's supposedly on that town, and just everything they went through in, I believe, the 1890s to early 1900s is just so haunting and such an interesting psychological dive. And it's all true documented cases, which is, I think, adds to the fear of it all. So that and Summerwind would probably be the closest, I would say.
You have piqued my interest here. We actually just got reports of Bigfoot activity in Black River Falls.
Interesting.
So fill me in here. What's this curse?
Okay, and excuse me if I have any of these details corrupted. I don't have my notes in front of me, but essentially Black River Falls, between, I believe, the 1890s through the early 1900s, experienced a really interesting psychological phenomenon where essentially people in the town just started losing their minds and started committing some of the most heinous crimes just seemingly out of nowhere. There's a lot of really gruesome and dark specific cases to it. I won't get too grody into it, especially because I don't want to paraphrase like necessarily on the tragedy. But if you even just look up like the curse of Black River Falls, you'll come face to face with so much information. And it was actually documented through a video called Wisconsin Death Trip, which was originally a book and then adapted into a black and white movie that showcases a bunch of the photographs from this time. And it just seems like there's some odd energy around there. I remember in my studies reading that it is studied as like a psychological phenomenon by like scholars and stuff, because they just don't know what was in the water then. But even that area of the state, I mean, you got Black River Falls is apparently cursed. Whitewater has all of its history. And then you get even more into the Driftless region and you have cases of UFOs and vampires and phantoms. So that southwestern area of the state, I try and stay out of there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on down there.
Absolutely.
So what has been your favorite story that you've researched?
Black River Falls.
Really?
I have a couple. So, and I've pretty much mentioned all of them, but to elaborate a little more, not on Black River Falls because we just talked about it, but that one was definitely the most eye-opening because so many people hadn't known about it. So that was really fascinating. Summerwind Mansion, I think, is just a crazy, spooky story. And finding out a lot of Hollywood films have used that case as a reference for horror has been really interesting. And then Whitewater has my heart. I went there my freshman year of college. I went to visit a friend there and they go, you know, this place is Second Salem. I go, what does that mean? What? Elaborate. And they told me all about it. And after seeing the town, there's just an energy there that's unlike any other, and it's fascinating. I highly encourage anyone listening to check out just the history of Whitewater and its witches and other spooky things that have gone on there. So those would probably be top three.
Very cool. So if somebody wants to follow you, you said you didn't have a website, right?
I don't have a website, no, but I do have all other social media. So on Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, I go by Goth Sconson. So that's GOTHSCONSIN. I really had to think about that.
Spelling is hard.
So then Goth Sconson. And then my Instagram is a little different. It's Corn Salsa. Corn is spelled with a K. You're getting some new metal action in there. So it's just Corn Salsa, all one word, lowercase, no spaces. So I can't get rid of that handle. It's just too good to part with.
I definitely was not expecting that.
Yeah. Most people don't, so it leaves an impression. But yeah, that's going to be the best place to find me. I would highly recommend TikTok, for one, following there, just so you can catch all the videos I post. I post quite frequently, so to keep up with that. And then Instagram, Corn Salsa, is definitely where I post more kind of updates on what I have going on and things. But I am very active on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Very cool. And you said this was your first public event that you've kind of festival you've been to?
This is, yeah. I'm here with my dad. We refer to him as Papa Gothsconsin. He's selling some of his handmade benches, and I'm selling some of my merch, and we're just having a good time. We're really thankful to the Hodag shop for getting us out here and just giving us the opportunity to get to meet with all the great people of Rhinelander.
Definitely Ben Burnell at the Hodag store. Great guy. We've known him. He's been on our podcast before. He's on one of our episodes talking about the Hodag and the Bigfoot stuff out here. And so we're well familiar with him. We've traveled up and down the highways with him. We went to CryptidCon. Well,
ooh,
not with him,
nice.
But we were at CryptidCon right next to him. Drove all the way to Kentucky just to be right next to the guy from Wisconsin. So
love that.
What was I going to say? Can you get your merchandise on your website, or not your website, but your TikTok or anything?
I am currently working. The best way to do it now is I do sell my merchandise through my Instagram. But by the time this comes out, I will definitely have a store launched. It was just kind of a matter of seeing how much inventory we'd go through today. And then from there, we'll launch probably a Big Cartel website just so it's easier to keep track of and to send people to. So check out for that. I do have a link tree on all of my social media, listing other social media. And then by the time I have a merch website, the merch website will be listed as well. So
awesome. We'll put that in the show notes for this, and hopefully we can stay in touch and we'll get any other links and stuff that you got before this comes out. But
yeah,
where else are you going to be this year?
Oh, that's a great question. So I'm really involved in the hardcore scene down in Milwaukee, which is where I'm currently based out of. So at the end of June, I will be at the Milwaukee Hardcore Barbecue Fest. It's going to be a nice show to celebrate the music scene down there and just eat some good food with some great friends. So I'll have a little booth there, which will be kind of exciting because I think I'm going to be the only like paranormal related person at this festival. But that's the plan. I'm going to be at the state fair quite a bit, just kind of doing my own thing. I love making content for the state fair. And then after that, I will be at Paracon, Milwaukee Paracon, in October, early October, I believe.
One sec.
I was just very recently added onto this lineup, so I'm still a touch behind on this, but I believe it's October.
October 14th and 15th, and then the 16th is going to also be a like a film festival in conjunction with it.
Ooh, perfect.
So
okay.
Like a homemade kind of film festival kind of thing as well.
Very nice.
So yeah, Milwaukee Paracon down in Milwaukee. It's at the college campus?
Yes, it's Alverno College, I believe. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so not the UW-Milwaukee campus. Don't go there. Go to Alverno.
Yeah, so Wisconsin Caps, Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, and Gothsconsin will both be at the Milwaukee Paracon. We've both been asked to speak, so
yeah.
Hopefully this goes through, and by the time this airs, we'll both be speaking and presenting at that event, but we'll both be there as vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, you can come out and check us out at the Milwaukee Paracon. And again, that should be October. It's 14th through the 16th, but the 14th, I think, is... it's a different event.
Okay.
It's like the night before thing.
Like a pre-show?
Yeah.
Almost?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they did like some sort of ghost walk or something.
Ooh.
Last year or tour.
We'll have to see
what they come out with this year. But it's on my calendar for all 3 days. So obviously it's listed for that. But
yeah.
I'll put show notes for that as well so that people can go and check that out. And you can find both of us there. And again, where can we find you?
Yeah, so again, you can find me, Gothsconsin, on TikTok, Twitter, and Facebook, and then Instagram at Corn Salsa. Corn is spelled with a K. Don't you forget it.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, and I look forward to seeing you again in October.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest here on Whispers from the Dark is the one and only Chad Lewis. How you doing?
Greetings from the Northwoods of Wisconsin.
Yeah, we are out here on a bristly May day in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And we are set up right down here. I just had Taylor from Gothsconsin on the show.
Mm.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you. This episode will air probably early September. So you have an event coming up in September down in Iowa, right?
Yes, the last Saturday in September, celebrating the creature called the Van Meter Visitor. If you're not familiar, it was a giant bat-like creature that in 1903 attacked this town of Van Meter, Iowa, for 5 nights before they finally got rid of it. And every year, the town celebrates their weird history with a festival. So it's walking tours to the locations where the townsfolk shot at the monster, and a lot of the history still there. So it's a lot of fun just living this folklore. You don't need a great imagination, because a lot of the buildings are still there. You can see that's where they shot at it. That's where the front window of the bank was shot out when the creature was out in front of it. So I think it's very unique in the fact that you can literally walk in the footsteps of those who were there 100 and some years ago.
That is cool. So we kind of jumped right into this. Why don't you tell us, for the people who don't know, who are you and what do you do?
Sure. My name's Chad Lewis. I'm a researcher of the strange and unusual. The last 30 years, I've been traveling the world in search of the strange and bizarre, from mysterious creatures to hauntings, crop circles, UFOs. If it's just bizarre, I've been trying to figure it out for the last couple decades.
And how far have you gotten on that?
Yeah, let me get back to you on that. No, it's so funny. When I started out in the field, like a lot of people, where you think, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to solve some cases. I'll figure things out. No problem. And early on, I kind of switched from that to seeing it as an adventure. That going to these places, experiencing the folklore, the travel, the roadside attractions. Because I know a lot of people that got into it expecting a lot of answers, they burned out very quickly because it didn't come to them. So I think early on I shifted to the idea that I love the adventure and the stories of these things, how they progress and morph through decade after decade. And that was more exciting to me, whether or not somebody actually saw what they reported. You know, because if someone says they saw Bigfoot run across their road and they were traveling home at night, you know, it's very hard to prove or disprove that. To them, it happened, it's real. And I think sometimes you can get bogged down in trying to figure that out versus what does it mean in a greater scale, their story.
Definitely. That's really important. You know, like you said, you know, a lot of these things, it's more about going out and experiencing and having the adventure. Because if you go out in the woods and you look for Bigfoot and you don't find him, you're going home disappointed. If you go out in the woods and you camp out and you spend the night with your friends and your family and stuff, and you have a good time, whether or not you see Bigfoot is irrelevant, because you're still enjoying the time. You're having the time, you know, out there.
That's exactly right. There's a legend on the Mississippi River on a Lake Pepin, it's called. It's a lake on the river dividing Wisconsin and Minnesota. And one of the champions of the legend of the sea monster called Pepe is a local gentleman from Lake City, Minnesota, who always tells a very similar thing to what you just said, that if you come out to the lake looking for Pepe and you don't find it, you still had a great time at the lake all day. So I think approaching it with that belief, or just that going into it knowing that it's going to be a fun adventure. And oftentimes people contact me and they went to a certain legend and they went on a legend trip, and it's not the legend so much that they remember. It's breaking down halfway there, or stumbling across the world's biggest ball of twine while they were getting there, staying at the mom and pop hotel or motel where it seemed like some deaths may have occurred there. You know, those are the things that stick out in people's memories more so than the legend itself.
Absolutely. And that's a very good point, you know. So where all have you been? Have you traveled like outside of the United States or just around the United States?
Well, I love the U.S. Been to 45 states or so. But when I was younger, I would travel quite a bit outside of the country. And I've been to 13 different countries now. And I think what's interesting about doing that is you get a sense that the rest of the world takes a lot of these legends in a more serious tone than we do. You know, here, Bigfoot's on our beef jerky commercials. But when I was tracking a lot of these creatures, mostly in other countries, they'd say, why are you doing that? You don't want to see these things. Stay away. Crazy American, what are you doing? You know, they really truly believe that you should not go looking for them. And a lot of cultures are that same way, where they believe if you go looking for the weird will come looking for you. That many cultures, some of these creatures, it's not even safe to mention their name, because that's enough to trigger them to come after you. So I love U.S. legends. I think we have the best legends in the world. But I love how other cultures take it in a much more serious tone than we do.
Definitely. You know, like, it's also interesting, I find, for like some of the other cultures in that, like you said, where, you know, over here, we have the same story regurgitated over the internet and everything like this. And people say, oh, I saw something in the woods. It had to be Bigfoot. You know, and then you show them these pictures. Well, what did it look like? You know, when you go over to these other countries and that, they don't have any of that. They don't have these books on Bigfoot and TV shows and stuff. So when you get these native people out there seeing these things in the woods and you say, what did you see? Did it look like this or this? They know what they saw. Mm-hmm. They know every animal that's in those woods because they live out there with them. And it's a lot, to me, a lot more of a credible witness because, you know, here it's like, oh, I saw a Bigfoot because that's what I think it is. It's a bear on its hind legs. Oh, it's a Bigfoot. Is it, you know, or yeah. Is it something else, you know, because that's just what we're attuned to in the U.S. here.
A lot of these witnesses are men and women that, like you said, they know exactly what's in the woods or the area they live in. They've been there their whole lives. They spend much more time outside, more connected to their environment than a lot of us here living in big cities. And they're certain that it wasn't a misidentification of any known animal, that they're 100% sure it was something bizarre or unexplained, but that's where they leave it. You know, a lot of them don't try to explain it. They don't try to figure it out. It was just very bizarre.
So you've gone to all these places and tried all these dares and stuff you talk about in your presentation. What's been your favorite?
I love the dares where mishap, misfortune, and death are going to follow you. And that's 99% of them. Very rarely do you get a dare where if you do the dare, and these dares are anything from if you knock on a mausoleum, someone from inside will knock back. Or if you roll down a hill three times, a portal to hell will open up. Those type of things. And rarely is it anything good that if you do these dares, you'll win the lottery or you'll find true love. It's always bad things that happen. And that, for me, that's half the fun, because obviously it's a test of bravery. For many people, it's a rite of passage. A lot of these legends until recently weren't well known outside of the region that they originated in. So it would be mostly young kids, high school, college age kids that would go to these places, and every generation would put a new spin on it. You know, it'd be the old haunted cemetery in the woods. And when you talk to seniors, they would tell you one version of the story. And then you talk to teenagers, they'll tell you a different version because it's been 40 years and it changed over that time. And for me, that's the most interesting, is seeing how these progress and morph.
We were talking earlier about how we did a whole urban legend episode. It was one of our first episodes we did because we were looking for content to just kind of fill in stuff there. And what is your opinion, like having done all this and researched it, do you think that for like example, like the woman in white or the hitchhiking ghost and stuff like that, do you think that these are just a story that's passed down from, you know, like Wisconsin and, you know, Iowa and Michigan all have these similar stories? Do you think that it's just the same story, or do you think that there's some sort of entity that is all these places?
I think that it's not just a cautionary tale of stay away from the water, so we'll invent a woman in white down by the water so our kids don't drown. It's not an allegory meant to teach you something, that when you have a lot of these stories where they involve cultures from all over the world that were separated by vast distances, religion, language, cultural beliefs, yet they all report the same thing. It makes you wonder that there has to be something there. And of course, a lot of skeptics will say the media causes these sightings, that every show starts featuring Resurrection Mary walking down the road, and then of course people believe they've seen her, where you could take the exact opposite approach, that once people hear about these things, they pay more attention. It's like when you buy a new car, whatever brand you buy, all of a sudden you start seeing that brand everywhere because you're paying attention. It's on now on your radar. So I think that's what's happening with a lot of these legends, that when they get more publicity, it's not causing people to misidentify as much as it is of people keeping an eye out. Back to that Pepe story of the lake monster, I spoke with many fishermen and women, old timers, that were on the lake. And when I would pull up next to them on the boat, I would say, have you seen Pepe? And of course they'd say no, but they say, we have our camera just in case. And these weren't diehard believers. These were people you wouldn't think would be interested in it at all. But all the publicity that it received opened their eyes a little bit more, and they're paying more attention.
That's interesting. I mean, that's a good point. You know, people, you know, just because they don't believe in something, they're still going to, you know, be aware of it in the area, you know. Speaking of the area, we're in here in Rhinelander. So I got to listen to most of your speech today about your new book.
Mm.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your new book, what's in it, and where people can find it and stuff.
Well, I love the entire spectrum of the paranormal, but I really like the outskirts. And my newest book is on the lumberjack creatures of the Northwoods, these unbelievable monsters that the lumberjacks believed in, but you're probably not going to find them. You know, imaginary creatures, if you will, but to them they were real. Things like the jackalope and the hoop snake and the snow wasset and all these other beings that existed in these lumber camps as the lumberjacks told stories at night trying to scare the new rookies, the greenhorns. And these have been going on for hundreds of years. There are many books about them, of these creatures. And I really wanted to capture them because most people... Oh, hold on. I'm getting some Hodeg root beer here.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben, this is the second time I was doing an interview in Van Meter, and he gave me one, and I cracked it open right then.
All right, so, we'll have to do that.
Yeah, Hodeg root beer. It's very good. Let's crack it open here.
Hodeg root beer from the Hodeg store, Ben Burnell. Oh, you hear that? Cheers, man.
Cheers. Oh, that's good. Guaranteed to put spines down your back.
Ooh, green spines, nonetheless.
Yeah, little spikes going down. so the lumberjacks. And again, it's not supernatural in the fact that I don't think there are, you know, hoogag creatures, snuffleupagus-looking creatures roaming the Northwoods. But I just love that the fact that they fall into line with a lot of the cryptids, and the fact that I can't tell you how many people contact me saying, where can I capture a hoodag? They want to really capture it and say, well, you have to go back in time when he created one, Gene Shepard. But I think there's a fine line between folklore and cryptozoology, that a lot of these creatures are fun, and they're just kind of on the outskirts of the paranormal. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call the jackalope a cryptid at all. You know, I don't know, although people tell me they've seen one. I don't think you're going to capture one and it's some unknown species to science, but for me, it's just a lot of fun, and I love that. I love how the paranormal intersects with so many other things, whether it's circus legends and lore or the old hobo train riding legends as well, and that's what interests me as much as, you know, your typical UFO sighting, because once you start getting a lot of those, you see a lot of them are very similar, and they're great, they're interesting, but it's a light in the sky. There's not much you can do with it. It's past tense. It already happened. So, you know, it's not as exciting as marching through the woods looking for these bizarre creatures.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. I was going to ask you some of the stuff you talked about with those apes. Mm. Have you found, like, in your research in that, do those, like, you've obviously done research on Bigfoot, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so in the stories that you were telling today in the presentation on those guys, and we'll let them read the book and get all that information, but have you found any more similarities between their versions of that and a Bigfoot? Do you think that those were the same creature, or?
No, definitely different creatures, okay. Because the lumberjacks reported what we would consider Bigfoot or Sasquatch creatures. Yeah. Of course, the terminology didn't exist back then. They called them the wild men. And they would come in like two categories. The lumbermen would either report that they were some weird guy who wanted to live in the woods by himself, just pull himself from society, let his whiskers, his beard grow long and his hair, and look very wild. But then the lumberjacks also reported what we would consider a Bigfoot. You know, 7 to 8 feet tall, heavily muscled, covered in fur or hair, wearing no shoes or boots or anything. They're leaving gigantic naked footprints about, but they didn't call it Bigfoot. So a lot of Bigfoot researchers in the old days would look through the archives of the newspapers looking for Bigfoot. And if they switched to wild man or crazed person of the woods, all these different terms, today we'd see it as Bigfoot, but back then they had no idea what was going on. And again, it's that fine line, because when lumberjacks talk about seeing a Bigfoot, they're also talking about a hoop snake that can, you know, roll around faster than a cheetah. So you don't know quite what to believe, but they also saw weird UFOs, whether they called them fairy fire, will-o'-the-wisp, swamp gas. You know, they were seeing these weird lights that would dart about in the woods.
And I hear a hodag now.
And remember, this was at a time when the woods were inexhaustible. It was thought that anything could be in there. And they were finding new animals. The mountain gorilla and other big animals were being discovered by science. So people would say, why couldn't there be a hodag in the woods? You know, at that time, anything was possible. So
I thought it was really interesting. We had Carrie and Ben Brunell on the show, Carrie Bladorn and Ben Brunell here from the Hodag Festival. And he was talking about, you know, like, obviously we know the whole story of Gene Shepard and the Hodag creation, stuff like that. But this actually was written in the newspaper prior to Eugene Shepard picking it up. And that's why he went out looking for it. And I had asked him, I said, well, if this story is out there and stuff, do you think that this actually was a creature? And he made a really weird, well, not weird, but a thought that it could have been like a mastodon or a woolly mammoth at the time, because, you know, you had, you know, the glaciers and stuff, and back when they were seeing all these things, it originally was reported with like the head of an elephant, kind of. So have you found any more reports similar to that?
There were several reports predating Shepard capturing one or even seeing one. And a lot of them were on the East Coast, and they were presenting at carnivals. And a lot of them would say that the hodag was sick, that you couldn't see it today. But they'd have a sign saying, see the hodag. So the hodag was well known in the lumber camps throughout the U.S. Most people think Gene Shepard invented it. I don't necessarily believe that, but he was certainly one of the earliest storytellers about it, and he's become most associated with it in here in Rhinelander. But there were other places where people were seeing hodags.
But do they have like that similar like elephant face, do you know? Or,
well, not only just the hodags, but when you throw in early sea serpents and other creatures, they were like a hodgepodge of animals. They were part bear, part elephant, part skunk tail. I mean, just the weirdest things. And whether people are actually seeing something or just thinking maybe they were seeing parts of it or from different angles, or they made the entire thing up. You know, that's half the fun, is not knowing. But they were different variations. That there were different colored hodags, obviously black being the original and traditional, but other variations as well. And you wonder if people are actually seeing that, or they just kind of told the story different as it moved across the states.
Fascinating. So you've gone out on all these dares and stuff like that. Have you ever seen like a lady hitchhiker ghost or anything like that when you're out there?
Well, let me knock on wood here. No. And people often ask, taking all these dares, whether anything bad has ever happened. And the problem with that is, if it did, I wouldn't know what to blame, because I've done so many. And I have had certain things, like there was a bridge in Iowa that is thought to be haunted. And people go out there and see the murdering ghost of a woman who threw her kids off the train tracks. It's called Terror Bridge in Terra, Iowa, but the locals call it Terror. And the dare is, if you sit by the bridge and unlock your cars and windows, door windows, the spirit will throw you over. So you'll die on the railroad tracks. And of course, I did the dare, tried it out, nothing happened. But as I was leaving, I got my first speeding ticket in like 25 years. You know, so was I cursed?
I think
maybe.
You just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah. Another instance, a colleague of mine, Kevin Nelson, we were in Iowa once again, looking at the Black Angel of Death in Iowa City. It's an angel at a cemetery where if you go there and touch it, you'll die. If you kiss in front of it, you'll die. If you're a virgin, you'll die. If you're not a virgin, you'll die. Basically, you're going to die if you go there. So we went there, and I'd been there many times and tried the dare at night. I filmed it, and it was very late. We went back to our hotel room, it probably 3 a.m. and had to get up about 6 a.m. to leave the next morning. And somewhere in that time period, someone smashed into Kevin's car in the parking lot. So we came out and his car was all demolished. And again, probably coincidence, but yet you're just doing a dare right before that. So I like to blame it on the dares.
That's good. A good idea there. So how many books have you actually written so far? Do you know?
My last one, if you don't count, I did my master's thesis and turned it into a book type thing, but I don't count that because I didn't really expect people to read a 200 page statistical manual on the paranormal.
Ooh.
Yeah. 25, the newest one is the 25th. Yeah.
Very cool. And what kind of like broad spectrum do you have? Because I know you have like newspaper clippings and mm-hmm. histories of different states and stuff. And
mostly the road guides to the Midwest and throughout, whether you're looking for monsters or UFOs or haunted places. But I do dabble in the historical newspaper accounts of bizarre deaths. And again, it's just right on the edge of the paranormal where it's weird, but not mainstream paranormal. It's not Van Meter visitor weird. It's just kind of strange.
It's like, Charles Fort? Fortean mm-hmm. society that collected all the weird stories and stuff, kind of.
Yeah, definitely yeah. More Fortean than it is strictly supernatural.
Very cool. And where can we find your books?
Anywhere you want.
Awesome.
Find it. You got to go out of your way to avoid them.
That's true. I mean, with so many out there, it's got to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Where can we find you if we want to get a hold of you?
Just think of the weirdest legend that you know about. Go out there, and that's where you'll find me.
Very good. Very good, man. And again, we're going to see you again in the end of September.
Yes.
At the Van Meter Festival. And again, when was that? And,
Last Saturday of September.
Last Saturday of September.
Yes.
In Van Meter, Iowa.
Van Meter, Iowa. It's, I believe there's no cost to it. So money back guarantee if the visitor grabs you and flies off with you.
Nice. You're going to be anywhere else in October, September you want to talk about?
I'll be on the road. You'll find me.
Okay.
From legend to legend.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for talking to us. And best of luck with your next dares.
Keep an eye out.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.